Audria, to start off with, I want to thank you very much for coming today and spending some time with me. I certainly know that some of the information that you're going to share with us today is very difficult, and I do want to thank you for being able to do that. But remember what the goal is. Number one is to help yourself. I'm certainly sure that you're going to have the strategies and techniques to be able to do that after we spend our time together. Number two, though, I want you to think about all the thousands and thousands of people that you're going to be able to help by expressing and sharing some of the things that you've been going through, okay? So again, thank you for that. Well, let's get started. Now, we're going to go ahead and list the past experiences that are negative or bad that have happened to you in your past. Now, one of the things I'm going to have you do for me, and I know it's going to be a little challenging, and I had everybody else do this when they did this program when they first started. I want you to remember and recall some of these negative things that have happened to you, but try your best to hold back some of the emotions. And for you particularly, that's going to be really a challenge, and people who are going to be listening to this program will understand that. The reason I want you to hold back on that is we're going to discuss later on how we deal with that. But right now, we just want to get some of this negative trash that's happened to you. Let's get it out, put it on paper. All right, how about sharing some of that with us? Go ahead and give us some of those negative things that have happened to you.
Okay, the first would definitely have to be that my father sexually abused me. Also, when I confronted my mother about it, she didn't believe that it happened. She still doesn't believe that it happened. My parents were physically abusive towards each other and would beat each other. And another one is that my brother never loved or cared or treated me right. And my grandmother was verbally abusive. And also, I was sexually assaulted at the age of 16. And I've had many bad relationships since then where all the guys have just wanted one thing from me.
Okay, well, I can understand the pain, obviously, that you must be going through. I appreciate you hanging in with that. Now, let's go ahead, and we're going to be dealing with all this later on, but let's go to the next page now. What I want you to do, I want you to list past experiences that are positive or that were good that could be or possibly maybe affecting or controlling your life now. Let's go ahead and share some of those. Hopefully, we can get the mood up a little better. Go ahead and do that.
Well, my faith in God would definitely have to be the first.
Good for you.
Also, I've had some really great friends that's helped me through things, and my sister and brother-in-law also helped me a lot. And I live in a great area.
Okay, that's good. Something positive to think about. Any more you have written down, or is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Now, we're laughing, but it's pretty sad, and I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And we talked about this earlier, and it happened to me too. It was so easy to put all the information down on that page one, all the negative stuff, and when we go to coming down to page two now, we only have like maybe three or four things, and it takes a little time to figure them out. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
But that's unfortunately what happens when we have so much tragedy in our past. Okay, one of the things that I want you to do now is I want you to realize that all these things have programmed you to this very day. Does that make sense? Do you agree with that?
Yes.
All right, some of the behaviors, some of the thinking, some of the thoughts, your attitudes stem from your past experiences. So here's what I want you to do for me today. Starting today, I want you to stop and not allow those things to control your present and your future anymore. In other words, I want you to make a commitment that you and you are the only one that's going to make the decision to program you the way you want to be programmed. So here's what I want you to do in page two. This particular day, I want you to consciously decide, choose, and commit to not allowing other things or people to condition or program you. The choice will be yours and yours only. Will you be willing to commit to that for me?
Yes.
Okay, what I want you to do is I want you to go ahead and sign your name for me on that, okay?
Okay.
All right, very good. Now, let's go to page three. That's going to be a fun one for you here. Not in a literal sense, that's for sure. What I want you to do, you know what we're going to do on this one. I want you to read off some of the thoughts that you have here that would apply to you, some of these feelings of inadequacy. When you read them off, before you read them off, what I want you to do is tell me if it's an A or a B, then read them off. All right, give me the first one and the second and the third and the fourth. All right, let's go.
Okay, the first one is an A. I'll never be as good as so-and-so.
Okay.
The second one is an A. I don't deserve to be successful. The third one is also an A. I'm not pretty enough. And once again, another A. I always sabotage my success with relationships, success, etc.
Okay, so you skipped, you skipped number three. You don't feel guilty when you spend money or time on yourself?
Not at all.
All right, so that one's not a problem for you, huh?
No.
Okay, what's the next one we're on, Audria?
I have to live up to others' expectations. That's
right.
An A.
Number eight is an A. Next.
I don't deserve to be loved. That's an A. That's number nine. Number 10 is an A. I don't deserve better. Number 11 is an A. I can never do anything right. The next one is a B, surprisingly. It says, no one will notice or care if I better myself. And the next one is also a B. It says, I am too shy. What I have to say to others is stupid. And the next one's an A. No one likes me. Another A. I can't say no to others. Another A. My ideas are no good. Another definite A. I deserve it. Meaning physical, mental, or verbal abuse.
Okay, you certainly have had a lot of that.
Yeah. And also, another A is I don't take compliments well. Another A is I'll never amount to anything. And I'm dependent on others. That's also an A. I can't. That's a very big A. I'm a failure. Another A. Also, I am stupid. That's an A. I am not worthy. That's an A. I have to do things for others to feel liked or loved by them. That's also an A. And I have to achieve things so as to get recognition. That's an A.
Okay, and how about 27, I feel inferior?
Yes, that's an A.
That's an A for you too. Okay, that's definitely a lot of A's on this list for you, is it not?
Yes.
Okay, so let's take that feeling of inadequacy or that thought of that I am a failure, and what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and put it on your page one, and it is I am a failure, so I see that you've already written that down. So what would be the goal? What's the opposite of that?
I am not a failure.
All right, so to feel that you're not a failure. So we have to now, before we go any further, we have to write down, why must you change this behavior? So you tell me, what's going to motivate you? What's going to push you? What's going to drive you? What thoughts are going to move you to make this change? Why must you change this behavior, Audrea?
Well, I don't want to be a failure because every time I do something, I'm going to start out and just not want to do it. I want to be able to succeed and live a normal life.
And for a lot of people, that's very common. They'll set out on a course or set a goal, and because of not accomplishing the goal, they'll feel like a failure. Or in your particular case, you've had so many negative things happen to you, similar to myself, that you feel no matter what happens, you're going to be a failure anyway, so why bother? So if you have that feeling, it doesn't seem to really motivate you and push you to keep going forward because you feel, well, why start? Because I'm going to fail anyway. Have you had those thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what we want to try to change so we can keep going forward. So now the next thing that we're going to do, we have to go to our page four, and that would be your limited beliefs, okay? So what are some of the limited thoughts or limited beliefs that you might have that you would associate with I am a failure? Let's pretend for a moment that you didn't feel that way and you try to fake it and you try to do something or accomplish something. How would you feel?
I'd feel like I have no control. I'd feel like I was trying to sabotage it.
Okay, so let's write that down, and I see that you already have that written down, that you would feel that you have no control. What else?
Also, I feel like it would just all fall out from under me.
Okay, a lot of people feel that way, so we'd put that down. I feel like it would all fall out from underneath me. Anything else you have there?
And that I'd look stupid.
All right, that you'd look stupid. Okay, these are all limited thoughts. Obviously, if everybody believed and thought that way, they'd also respond the way that you do. So how do you respond? How do you identify these limited thought processes? What are some of the behaviors?
Well, I get very irritable and angry.
Okay, you get irritable and angry. What else do you have?
Well, I just throw my arms up at it and just don't care.
Okay, so you don't care, or you also what? Give up.
Yeah.
Right? So if you give up, that means you also don't attack or work on another goal. What else might you have?
I just leave it there and I won't finish it and I isolate myself.
All right. So that's part of the sabotaging. You isolate yourself. That's an interesting one. So that's something that we're going to focus on also. Okay. Let's keep going. Now, we figured out so far what the limited thought process is. We've also identified some of the things that you do to reward this limited thought process. We sabotage our success. We isolate ourselves. So now we're going to go to your page two. Page two is the opposite of page four. So instead of having limited beliefs, we want to now have empowering beliefs. So we first of all put down for the limited belief, I'm a failure. So what's the opposite for the empowering belief?
I am not.
We now want to write down the opposite of what else you wrote down on your page four. So what would be the opposite for page two that we could add for your empowering beliefs?
I have control.
Okay, I have control. So I want you to write that down, which I see that you've done. I have control. What would be the opposite for the next one? What's the next limited one you have?
The next limited one is that I would sabotage it.
All right.
So I would succeed.
Let's do both. Let's put I will succeed and not sabotage my success.
Okay.
All right. We want to go back to that one. What else do you have on page four that's limiting you?
It will all fall out from under me.
Okay. So what would be the opposite of that?
It won't fall out from under me.
Okay, back to the part that you're going to have control. It won't fall out from under you, so I see that you've put that down.
I look stupid.
All right, what's the opposite of that?
I wouldn't look stupid.
Okay, Now, this sounds obviously simple, from negative to positive, but the key now, we have to what? We have to believe it. You believe what's on page 4, so what we have to do now is start believing what's on page 2. So what are the things that we're going to do? What are some of the behaviors? What are some of the ways that you can reward that you do believe what's on page 2? So let's go ahead and put that down under, what will I need to do to reward this behavior? What are some of the things that you can do?
Well, not clam up.
Okay, so when you clam up, what do you do to clam up? You what? Just shut up?
Yeah.
Don't say things, okay? So what's the opposite of that?
I'd want to talk.
You'd want to force yourself to talk and communicate, okay? So you have to do the opposite. What's another thing that you have to do to reward this positive behavior?
Well, I would work on not getting irritable and angry.
Very good.
I'd force myself to be happy.
Excellent. And we talked about how we have to force ourselves. Even though we feel uncomfortable doing it, we have to start somewhere by faking the brain out. There was another one that you put down that was quite interesting, and it was about isolating yourself. So the moment you isolate yourself, is that negative or positive?
Negative.
Negative. So what do you have to do?
Not isolate myself.
Okay, so you're going to convert isolating to not isolating yourself. So how are you going to do that? You can write down, I'm not going to isolate myself, but let's find specific things that you can actually do. So as you're doing them, you can associate, as I'm doing these specific things, I am rewarding this positive thought. So what are some of them?
Well, I could call someone if there's nobody there, or talk to someone, find somebody to associate with.
Okay, so if there's nobody at home, you can call somebody, or you can just get out and do what?
Find someone.
Find somebody. Go to one of your friends' homes, talk to them. Again, it's a good thing to do because it's what? It's opposite of isolating yourself. And you're going to actually have to force yourself to do some of this. And that's where also you may need a coach sometimes. I remember one lady I was working with particularly had a tremendous amount of problems. Unbelievable. We went to her house to try to get her out of the house because she was home and depressed. We knew her well enough, though, we actually forced her out. We grabbed her and we said, look, you're coming with us. And she says, well, I'm not dressed right. I don't look good. I said, I don't really care. I'm taking you out. We took her out of the house and took her places, and she saw and felt a big difference. So sometimes you have to actually force yourself. So next time I see that you're isolating yourself, don't be surprised if I come knocking at your door and yank you out of the house. Okay, what else can you do to reward this behavior? Do we have anything else?
I leave it there and not finish it.
All right, so you have specific projects that you will start and you won't finish it. You have to identify specifically where it is on the next project you begin, where you think you might falter or quit, and that's what you're going to work on and focus on next time. Okay, anything else?
No.
That'll do it. So now what we want to remember that when your feelings, which are on page what? The negative feelings are on page?
4.
4. When your feelings are not in harmony with your goals, what's your goal?
I'm not a failure.
That to believe that you're not a failure, ignore your feelings. So how are we going to ignore our feelings? You're going to start off with the correct words. Right? I'm not a failure. I'm not going to isolate myself. I am okay. I am going to be in control. Then we also have to make sure we reward that with the right behavior. Keep in mind too, Audrey, that none of this is going to be effective to you unless you truly believe you're page 1. If you don't have good enough reasons why you want to change this behavior, you'll stop and go. Sooner or later, you'll probably just end up back on page 4 for the rest of your life. Another thing you want to keep in mind is training your nervous system. Recall how we spoke earlier that the nervous system cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality. I want you to imagine as you work on a project that you see a spot there that you might want to give up and throw in the towel. Imagine yourself going through that limitation and accomplishing the task. Train that nervous system. If you see that you want to get isolated or you see frustration coming, try to train the nervous system where you're going to do something in your mind that's opposite of that. Tell yourself, I'm not going to stay in my room. I'm not going to just isolate myself. I'm going to make a phone call. Picture and see and imagine yourself feeling that you're a failure and saying, wait a minute, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to pick up the phone call and force myself to make a phone call to a friend. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right? Very important that we do that. The next thing that you want to remember is any time that you try to make any type of change, Audria, always remember that feelings change last. Always remember that feelings change last. And the point in telling you this is there's going to be a time that you know that you need to make that phone call or you know you need to get out of that house, but you're not going to want to do it. You don't have the drive and the strength to do it. You have to recognize that I got to go back to my page 1. Why must I change this behavior? And then understand, even though when you push and force yourself to not isolate yourself, you're going to feel uncomfortable with that. You're going to want to go back to what? Page 4 and isolate yourself. You'll know that and feel that you're actually lying to yourself. You know, you're going to say, okay, I'm not going to isolate myself. I'm going to get out of the house. And you're going to feel, wait a minute, I want to stay here and I want to put my tail between my legs. I want to have a pity party. You're going to feel very uncomfortable telling yourself, let's get out of here. But remember, feelings change when? feelings change last. So force the behavior, and sooner or later, you're going to feel better. And I'll guarantee you, if you get yourself out of the house, hang around a friend or two, what's going to happen right away? You're going to be glad you what? You're going to be glad you did it. So it all stems from, though, page one. If you don't have a good page one, if your reasons aren't strong, you're not going to make change. Now, are there any other things in your life that you think that you might want to work on changing? Let's look at some overall goals that you might have.
Being independent.
Okay, being independent. And what might be some ways that shows now that you are not independent?
Well, I live with my sister and my brother-in-law, and I don't own my own car. I feel like nothing really is mine.
Okay, so we're going to work on that. So we'll make that as an overall goal. Any other things?
I'm in therapy, and I'm on medication, and I'd really like to get off of it.
Okay. Do you have a goal? Have you talked to your therapist about getting off of that and when you'd like to?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, what have you discussed with your therapist?
I've discussed getting off of this medication, and my goal is to be off of it within 3 months.
One of the things you want to think about if you are going to get off your medication is one of the reasons that you feel depressed now and you're on that medication, would you agree, stems from your past and a lot of these thoughts?
Yes.
Obviously, if you feel that you're a failure, you're not going to be the happiest person in the world to be around. So what we want to do, and this could be maybe a measuring rod for you and your therapist as to when you're ready to start weaning yourself or giving up that medication, is you want to start finding out how much of this you can start believing. Because if you work on this limited belief that we've been talking about and change it to I am not a failure, and you really start doing things and you work on this and you feel that you are not a failure, that's one less worry, that's one less emotional problem that you're going to have. And now who's control that?
I have.
You have. And the more you can start doing that, the less you need to rely on the what? On the medication. So the key here is to take these limited beliefs, work on controlling and changing them, and then you can go back to the page 3 in your workbook with all these feelings of inadequacies, all the ones that you have the A's and B's on, and then a week from now and 2 weeks from now, start looking at them. Say, wait a minute, I used to believe that was an A, now it's a B. And then later on you may find out, well, hey, I don't believe that junk anymore. And when you see that these feelings of inadequacies no longer apply to you, then you're getting better and better. Does that make sense? And more importantly, you see that you're the one controlling this, then you can also use that as a sign or a means to determine when and how you should get off your medication. Now we have to do a page 3. That's the last one. We've gone 1, 4, 2, and now page 3. And eventually what we're going to do, we're just going to get rid of page 4 because you'll no longer need that because page 4 is what you're used to living on. You know those thoughts, so nobody needs to remind you of those. So eventually that's going to be the goal for page 4, just get rid of it. Okay, page 3. Page 3 says, new positive feelings and experiences. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a list of goals that you would like to accomplish with your new behavior. So with this new behavior, what would you like to accomplish?
Success.
Define success for me.
To succeed.
At what?
Everything.
Like?
A job.
Okay, see what I'm looking for? I'm looking for you to get more specific. We talked about this job earlier, that you'd recently lost a job. And one of the things that we talked about in setting this new goal and not feeling that you're a failure is that you had a tendency to believe that you're only worth so much. And because of all the things in your past, you didn't feel you were worthy of any more, and that's the type of job that you looked for. So we talked about you saying, well, wait a minute, why not believe that you're worth this much more money? And what happened when you did that?
I actually found a job.
Well, you found a job now that was paying you, what, nearly 50% more of what you made previously. Any other goals that you might have?
I'd like to get off the medication.
Okay, so I want you to go ahead and write that down. Get off the medication. Get with your therapist, of course, on that. And then I know you also have a date, so put the specific date down, okay? Now, any other goals that you might want to include?
I'd like to lose weight.
Okay, so what we would do by one of the boxes, I want you to put lose weight, but I want you to put how much. So write down specifically how much weight exactly you want to lose. Okay?
Okay.
Now, the next thing that we want to do, we're really going to start off with a couple things, little small stuff to begin with. What the purpose of this page is to put you into a new experience. When you do something new, something you've never done before, you're going to still be a little bit on that page 4, aren't you? We have to write down new experiences that you're going to feel. For instance, when you go on this job and you get your first paycheck, is that going to be a great feeling?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So what I want you to do is I want you to write down, I got my first paycheck from my new job, and I went ahead and got 50% more than I normally make, and it gave me a great feeling. I felt this, I felt that. Put all the things down that you feel and make sure you have a tremendous amount of detail there. And then I want you to write it down in detail. I want you to write it down in enough detail that if you were to look at it 6 months from now or a year from now, you would be able to actually relive that experience. Not just the experience, though, more importantly, the feeling. So when you get your first paycheck, that's what I want you to write down. I got my first paycheck, period. And then give me all the feelings, all the positive feelings that you have that you associated with now getting that new paycheck. If you had some negative feelings starting the job, well, I was a little nervous because I felt a little uncomfortable because I'm not used to making this much money, go ahead and put that down as long as the final outcome was a good one, which of course is going to be that paycheck. Aaron, I want to start off by thanking you for taking the opportunity of coming in today and helping us out with this program. And not only is this going to, of course, assist you, but you're also going to be able to help other people, many thousands of people who are going to take this program and also learn from it. So again, I want to thank you for that, and I really do appreciate it. Well, let's get started. Why don't you go ahead and start off by reading me some of the past experiences that you've had happen to you in your past. Let's go ahead and bring some of that up. And again, I want to remind you, try your best not to get too emotional about it. I know some of the things that you're going to write down and share with us are quite difficult, quite challenging, but we don't want to get too wrapped up in the emotions yet. We'll just go ahead and go through the program and continue with it by just reading off the information you have written. Go ahead.
Basically, I never had a childhood. My innocence was basically taken away from me at a young age. I was molested and I was raped. My father was an alcoholic. I was never given a lot of attention because both my parents had to work in order to make ends meet. I was also verbally abused. My brother and my sister were as well. And basically, my parents didn't believe me when I told them that I was being molested in the beginning. So it was kind of hard. I had a lot of resentment and a lot of anger inside. I also, from coming home from school at times, I would find my father in a stupor. So we would have to go to a babysitter, and it ended up being the babysitter that molested me.
Wow. Anything else you have on there?
No one ever really listened to me. When they did, they didn't really hear what I had to say.
All right, so that was obviously that's a fair amount of information you have there. So let's go ahead and now let's turn to the positive. Let's go ahead and list the positive things now that may have happened to you in your past that are positively controlling or affecting your life today.
My father no longer drinks. We have a great relationship now, my mother and my father and I. Being married to my husband, my relationship with God. Also, someone just being there to listen to me, really understand where I'm coming from, loving me for me, and not wanting me for my body or anything, but for my mind and my heart. Having friends that were who loved me and listened to me and really there to support my every move. Also being able to have a husband that not only is patient, but also wants to help me get through it.
Very good. Okay. Did you also have the challenge, like when you were asked to write down all the negative things, that you had no problem just one negative thing after another, then when you were asked to write the positive things, did you have a hard time finding all the positive things?
Actually, I went blank when I had to write the positive things.
Isn't that terrible? But that's the way it is sometimes. Okay, so today, will you commit to consciously deciding and choosing and committing to not allow these things or other people to condition or program you, and the choice, as you know it, can be yours and yours only? You ready to commit to that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, let's keep going. Well, we want to go over some of these feelings of inadequacy. So let's talk about the ones that apply to you specifically. So I want you to go through page 3 and the ones that you checked off, the ones that you wrote an A beside and a B beside, I want you to go ahead and read those off for me.
Some of the feelings I've experienced are like, I'll never be as good as so-and-so. I'm not pretty enough.
Okay, hold on. What'd you grade those as? Give me some grades on those, A or B.
A for I'll never be as good as so-and-so.
Okay.
B for I'm not pretty enough. If I am successful, people will judge or think less of me. B, I have to live up to other people's expectations, and that's an A.
Okay.
I don't deserve to be loved, and that's an A. I can never do anything right. That's a B. I'm too shy. What I have to say to others is stupid, and that's a B. I can't say no to others, and that's definitely an A. I have a hard time with that. My ideas are no good, and that's definitely an A. I don't take compliments well. That's definitely an A, too. I'm dependent on others. That's an A. I'm not worthy. That's a B. And I have to do things for others to feel like or loved by them. That's an A. And I have to achieve things so as to get recognition. And that's definitely an A because I do a lot of that.
And the next thing that we want to do now, Erin, we want to take one of these things that you have here and we want to work on that together on this program. So out of all the feelings of inadequacies that you have, which one do you think affects and controls your life the most? Which one would you like to work on together?
That my ideas are no good.
That your ideas are no good. Okay. Now, I don't want to jump ahead, but before we get to that, let's quickly kind of figure out how some of these bad experiences that you had happened to you, how do they relate to these feelings of inadequacy now?
And it pertains to my ideas are no good?
Well, that too, or anything else. I know you said earlier that you definitely feel that your ideas are no good. You also feel that you don't deserve to be loved. I would assume one of the reasons you feel that you don't deserve to be loved is because how you were treated in the past, correct?
Definitely. My being molested and being raped is something that you definitely lose your trust and you definitely lose your self-respect. You also feel scared because you're scared to speak up, and you're scared if you do speak up that nobody's ever going to listen. And from having your feelings or ideas shot down so many times, you get to a point where, okay, you know, I don't deserve to be loved. Nobody's going to listen to me. So why even bother? Why take the time to do it?
Very interesting observation. Very, very interesting. And I think why I want you, of course, to mention this type of stuff is because it's hard to sometimes really recognize and appreciate that all the trash that's happened to us in our past can really affect the way we think and feel today. And unfortunately, when people are not sympathetic with how you feel, even though it's negative and it may appear stupid or silly, they don't stop to say, well, wait a minute, this person thinks and feels this way. I wonder what happened to them in their past that causes them to react this way. A lot of times people may think, well, man, you're stupid. You won't say something. You know, speak up. I'm asking you a question. But they don't understand what a person's been through. I think what's interesting, too, is you are able to understand people a lot more and you're more sympathetic with them. And I think you're more willing to maybe open and help them.
It's funny that you say that because there's a lot of people that I come across that do have definite signs of feelings of inadequacy as such as I do. And going through it, you don't want to automatically say, okay, I think they went through it, but you definitely know they went through similar things in their past. And you try to be sympathetic to them because you can understand their pain and their frustration of it.
So there is an advantage, for lack of a better use of words, there is an advantage of you going through some of the things. And I think it's been a big advantage for me also, because one thing that I can appreciate from all the junk that I've been through, I have a tremendous ability to feel the pain that other people have. I have a tremendous ability. I think I've been able to develop that ability to also not only understand their pain that they're going through, but be able to help them step by step. And I think you could probably have the same skill also when you're trying to help a friend that's been through some major trauma in their life, or maybe it's not even major, maybe just something simple. You're able to put yourself in their shoes, and I think that's very, very important. Okay, so again, what are we going to work on with you?
My feelings of inadequacy, such as my ideas are no good. I work in a field with a bunch of people who deal with marketing, and they've been in this business for 9 to 10 years, and I definitely want to have a step up. You know, I hold my feelings back and don't tell them my ideas, and usually somebody else comes up with it and they're the ones that get the credit. So I definitely want to push my foot forward and definitely start speaking up.
Okay, so what's our goal then? Our goal would be to be what? What's the opposite?
My ideas are good.
Okay, your ideas are good and be able to say something. So I would go more than just the opposite on this one. I would say my ideas are good and I'm going to say something. Does that make sense? Because It's nice to think that your ideas are good, but if you're not going to do anything with them, what good is it? So your ideas are good. That's the opposite. And I'm going to say or share them. Okay, say something about them or share them, right? So make sure you have that written down. The next thing now is, why must you change this behavior? We've already emphasized the importance of why you must change this behavior. Tell me, why must you change this behavior, Erin? Why are you sick of living this way?
I'm tired of getting up in the morning and for no apparent reason, just being sick to my stomach, having butterflies in my stomach, being afraid of what life has to offer me. Since I've been married, my husband's taught me so many things. The beauty of being able to love somebody, the beauty of being able to trust somebody. And I'm to the point where I'm just tired of being afraid of everything. I really want to change my life, and I want to feel good about myself inside and out. I want to walk with pride. I definitely want to be able to walk into my office, hang my head up high, and know that I am competent of doing this job.
Very good. So give me some specifics now. Be a little bit more specific for me on why you must change this behavior with this particular feeling of inadequacy that we're trying to change.
Well, the reason that I want to change this behavior is because I know if I'm able to change this behavior, I can focus in on this, and then it will help me to change other areas in my life.
Okay, I'll buy that. Also, too, it's going to enable you to be more comfortable
with myself.
With yourself at work. You're going to also be able to share your ideas, and some of them will be shot down, some of them will be accepted. But if they're shot down, you're not going to take it personally. So that's going to be the advantage, right? If they are accepted, you're going to get credit for that. That's going to be a good feeling, too, because there's nothing like getting credit, you know, where it's due. So you'll experience that.
I definitely feel, too, that with that, I'll be able to feel the difference of when I have a good idea. It might not be the idea that they need at that time, but it's still a good idea, and be able to walk away and say, you know, I still had a good idea. It wasn't bad. But they just didn't need it at that time.
Good for you. That would be great. Okay, the next thing now, we have to go to page 4, don't we? Page 4 is our limited beliefs. Limited beliefs. So what's the limited belief again?
My ideas are no good.
All right, I want you to give me some other negative or limiting thoughts that you might have that you would associate with this.
Well, one of them is I get really scared and I get mental blocks. I get so scared that I start to... I feel like I'm getting really hot and I start to perspire.
Okay.
I feel like nobody's going to want to listen to me. So when I get that mental block, I just stop. It's like my mind goes blank.
Okay.
I'm not able to concentrate from being so fearful.
All right.
And
now the concentration and, you know, stopping the talking, that's probably going to be how you reward this behavior. Does that make sense? All right. So give me some thoughts, though, and beliefs that you have that goes along with this feeling of inadequacy that you have. What else might you have? Like you get scared. That's one. That I would definitely buy. That's also a behavior, but you reward the behavior by being scared by maybe clamming up or doing something. So you start off first by being scared, then we have a behavior, which we're going to get to in just a little bit.
Well, one of them is my ideas aren't good enough, so why should I even pitch it out?
There you go. So that's a limited thought process, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any others?
Another one is I get extremely angry and I start to believe, well, my ideas aren't as intelligent as the others because they've been in this business well longer than I have. So why even bother to share with them?
Okay. So that's definitely limiting also. All right. Any others or is that it?
That's it.
Okay. So now let's go back again. And how do you reward this? Identify behaviors that you use to reward this limited belief. So we already talked about it. When you say you get scared, what do you do?
I have a mental block. I clam up.
Okay.
I get extremely quiet. I feel like I'm going to lose it. My stomach ties in knots and sometimes I begin to cry.
Okay. So now we know that we identify and reward this limited belief with this behavior or these behaviors. So that's what we have to stop. And how are we going to do that? We're going to go to page what? We're going to go to your page 2, empowering beliefs. So the opposite of our limited belief is going to be what?
My ideas are good.
And give me some more.
And that I will at least give it a chance and throw the idea to somebody or pitch the idea to somebody.
Your ideas are good and you're willing to share them. Remember, that's what we wrote down really on your page 1. So it's basically what you're going to put on page 2 is the same thing that you put down on page 1 as your goal. So what else do we have to do? We now need to go and find out some of the other limited thought processes that you have on page 4 and convert them. So let's keep doing that.
I have an idea and I'm going to go ahead and pitch it. I'm not going to be scared. Have confidence in myself and tell myself that I need to share these ideas with others.
Okay, so basically you're looking for the opposite, right? And you've pretty well done that in a nutshell. You didn't do it specifically, but that's okay. Now, how else are you going to reward this? You're going to make sure you what? You say something. You're not going to clam up. So the moment you feel like you're going to clam up, what are you going to have to do?
Tell myself it's okay even if the idea is not used.
And then make sure you what? Instead of clamming up, you're going to speak up.
Speak up.
Right? So...
Mm-hmm.
just, that's the opposite. Get that in your head. I feel like clamming up. Okay, no, I'm going to speak up. I feel like clamming up. No, I'm going to speak up. Clam up, speak up. All right. Just kind of get maybe a little, you know, weird way to remember it. All right. What else are you going to do?
Okay. I'm not going to get nervous. I'm going to actually speak up and I'm going to let my thoughts be heard.
Okay. And of course, you want to do it obviously in a respectful way, which I, you know, from what I do know of you, I know you do that very well. Now, you say that you're not going to get nervous, but that's really not true to start off with. That's what we really want, right? So we could put down, I'm not going to be nervous, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not reality yet, is it? So what we have to do now is we have to make sure we go to the next statement. When my feelings, page what? Four. Those are the negative
four,
feelings.
Yeah.
When my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, page
One,
ignore my feelings. So how are we going to ignore those feelings? Remember, we're going to do it with the words, the positive words. We're going to make sure we say those words right. And of course, when another thing that you want to keep in mind, when you express yourself, you don't want to express yourself like somebody's got the tail between their legs. You want to be confident when you say it, head up, chin up, chest out, and just express your opinion. Then we also want to make sure we have the right behavior. After we say what we want to say, we don't want to run back into the bathroom and, you know, start crying. We don't want to run back and clam up. We want to keep doing things as we would normally do. The next thing that we want to think about, Erin, is feelings change
last.
Very good. Feelings change last. Why do I even mention that to you? Now, I know you've gone over this program pretty well, so I want to see how well you know it. Why is it important to understand that my feelings change last?
Well, because even though my mind might feel one way, my stomach and inside of me is going to feel another. Because I've been so conditioned to thinking a certain way for
so
long.
Let me interrupt you. Conditioned to think what page?
Page four.
Very good. Okay, continue. So you've been conditioned to live on page four. Think about page four.
And it's your feelings become so used to that way of
very good. You got
feeling,
it. Yes.
I mean, have been controlling me for so long that it's definitely going to be something that is definitely going to be changed last. Because even though that, like I said, my mind will want to do it, inside of me, it's going to take a while because I'm so used to feeling or doing things a certain way.
Okay. Now, keep in mind, though, the stronger your page one is, and the more you put yourself in the situation to keep attacking this in a positive way, the quicker you will get those feelings to change, right?
Right.
So keep in mind, feelings change last. Another reason for me mentioning that to you is you want to remember that it's so easy to be a slave to our feelings. And if our feelings are on page four, we start acting, page two, you know, we can do this. We say all these positive things. And that page four wants to creep in there. Understanding that feelings change last, let us know that I'm not going to be a slave to that page four and it's not going to win. Page two is going to win. Okay, Erin, now we're going to move over to page three, and that's new positive feelings and experiences. The goal here, as you already know, is in the past we've had negative experiences controlling us, and every time we think about something in the past, we live on that negative experience more and more and more, and it affects our behavior every day, day in and day out. What we have to do now is experience new feelings, and you've never experienced new positive feelings with regards to this particular goal that you're working on. So we have to go out in the real world, go do something. If we do it correctly with page 1, 2, 3, and 4, if we do it correctly, we're going to get a new experience. We need to write this new experience down because it's something new for us, and the reason it has to be written down are the negative experiences on page four. They will win if we don't have something to counteract them, and we need something new to counteract that, and that's what we're going to talk about now. So on your page three, it says, make a list of goals that you would like to accomplish with your new behavior. So give me something that you'd like to do with this new behavior.
Well, actually, I have a idea right now that I want to kind of pitch to my boss, and I think that I'm going to go ahead and do it because I really want to start, you know, expressing my thoughts and my ideas more.
Okay, so now what you would do is you would go ahead and set the goal and say, okay, I'm going to go in Monday or Wednesday or whatever, and I'm going to share and express this idea with everybody in the company or my boss and so on and so forth, okay? Then I want you to write down, as long as the experience was positive, and if you set this up correctly, your experience will be positive. I want you to write down every little thing. So you're going to write down, I shared the idea, whatever the idea was, with so-and-so, period. Then you write down all the positive experiences. Well, I did this. At first, I was a little nervous. You know, I had to really muster up some strength to go to him, but I did it. And he said, yes, it was a great idea. In fact, we're going to implement it. And it made me feel very good. Put as much detail as possible. And now when you look at this page, you have a whole new experience and a whole new feeling. Next time you're ready to go ahead and share your ideas, you go back to page 3 and say, hey, that was okay. Whereas before, you've been going to page 4 and say, oh, don't share your experiences. They're no good. No one's going to listen to you anyway. So now you're going to get rid of page 4 and you're going to do everything on page 3. We have goals that work specifically to this particular case that we're working on, your specific belief or your thought process that says, I can share my ideas with others now. What about other goals outside of this? Because you're taking this program and you're making change and you want to make more change, what specific goals might you want to add to, maybe not this particular list because we're focusing this list on this particular challenge, but any overall goals that you want to work on?
Like personally?
Yeah, personally.
I have a problem with trusting people.
Okay.
And being afraid of opening up. You know, basically, I'm really afraid to trust others because of my past. I'm always weary of them trying to hurt me or having some scheme to ruin me or something to that effect. And I definitely, it's a lonely place, really lonely when you're not able to trust others.
Very true. I know the feeling, unfortunately, on that one. Okay. What about any other goals that you might have?
Definitely. Actually, I set a goal about a week ago to get off my medication, and I haven't taken in about 4 days. And I'm doing pretty good so far. I'm really proud of myself because I've always been dependent on it since I was 13. They diagnosed me with manic depression. And I've been off it, and to my surprise, I've been happy. I mean, I realize I'm going to have my setbacks, but I don't let that stop me. It's not an obstacle that's going to stop me, and I keep pushing, and I've been having great days.
Very good. So is that a choice?
Yes.
Absolutely. Whose choice?
My choice.
Exactly. As long as you're following this program, as long as you learn and understand how to change your thought processes, you'll be able to learn to combat negative thought processes very, very quickly. And when you get to the point where you start doing it just unconsciously, the more that you can do that, the more you're going to really see you really don't need that medication. Of course, I know you're doing that also under the direction of your therapist, and I encourage you to do that. And I'm glad you're doing very, very well with that. And I can see, if you stick with this, I really don't think you're ever going to need that medication again, because I can see that you, beyond the shadow of a doubt, have a real, true desire to make change. And it's because of that strong desire that you have to make change that you're getting all these great results that you've been getting in the last week or so. So I encourage you to keep up the work.